peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. Just in interest of full disclosure, the topic of sermon today and for the subsequent Sundays is one that most pastors are not very comfortable in delivering. It's the topic of stewardship, particularly this particular pastor anyway, because for most people, they understand stewardship as something that intended for the pastor to ask for more money. Nothing can be further from the truth, but I just want you to know that this is one of those tricky sermon topics that nevertheless, I am honored to have been asked to do it because I understand that this congregation in years past have done stewardship focuses and stewardship drives. And so I'm figuring that this is nothing new to many of you, but nevertheless, it is still something that I have coveted many of prayers. I know many of the leaders of this congregation have been praying for me for this Sunday, and so I'm grateful. So, as you know, if you've received this month's newsletter, you probably have read my article talking about how in my 30 years of ministry, it's been my experience that whenever the word stewardship is mentioned in church, lots of eyes roll and lots of loud groanings happen. And even some people, you know, grab their wallet and their purse and then they walk out and leave. Why? Because it's been taught in many congregations. It's been wrongly taught, but it's been taught in many congregations that stewardship is a euphemism for we want your money. Again, nothing could be further from the truth. This perspective is wrong because for most Christians, stewardship is a calling. It is the calling that we believers have in our lives. The truth is that the truth of the gospel is that stewardship lies at the very center of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. You know, over 50 years ago, an internationally known educator, a faithful Lutheran man, Lutheran Christian, came up with a definition of what stewardship is. His name is Clarence Stoughton, and Clarence defined stewardship as it's everything that we think, say, and do after we say, I believe. And this definition of stewardship has been used prolifically, especially among Lutheran denominations, as to the true definition of stewardship. In other words, every believer in Jesus Christ, every disciple is called upon and is expected to be a steward. Now, you may ask, what's a steward? Or you need to be reminded as to what a steward is. Well, a steward is a person who is entrusted with the duty and the responsibility of managing and taking care of another person's property. That's what a steward is. Such a person is given a great degree of autonomy, freedom, a great degree of trust and responsibility to take care of what's been entrusted to him or her. Now, since all believers in Jesus Christ are to be stewards, then all stewards are to believe and to rely on the biblical understanding that everything in creation, even our lives, originates and belongs to Almighty God. Of this truth, there's no exception. Again, everything in creation, including our own lives, originates and belongs to Almighty God. No exception. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through the 28th, therein is a description of how God created humans. God created human beings in his likeness, in his image, and he put them in charge of what God has made. Part of being made in God's likeness is to be endowed, to be entrusted with the ability to take care of things, because that's what God does. And if we're created in God's likeness, God's image, we too are capable to take care of what God entrusts unto us. Thus, we are stewards, caretakers, managers, supervisors, if you will. We're given a high degree of authority and autonomy, along with accountability and responsibility. Dear family, this idea of faithful stewardship should ring familiar to many of us Lutherans, especially those of us who grew up reciting the offertory prayer in the Lutheran Book of Worship, in the LBW, the Green Hymnal. Many of you may even recall the words that used to be said every Sunday after every offering that starts with, "Most merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." How many of you recall or remember that? Oh, about the same number of people at the first service. Must have been a long, long time ago since it was recited here at Our Savior's. But it doesn't matter, because we'll once again be praying this prayer after every offering during our services here at Our Savior's. Why? Because it is a helpful reminder to us all what stewardship is all about. It's a helpful reminder as to the calling that every believer in Christ has to be good stewards. And for the remainder of this month, we will dive in and explore how this offertory prayer reveals the life-giving connections between stewardship and discipleship. So this morning, we begin with the phrase, "Most merciful Father." Now, every Christian knows and every believer ought to know the first verse, the first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. It starts with, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. This simple verse frames our foundational understanding not only of stewardship, but also of reality itself. What's revealed in this simple phrase or simple sentence is that we hold it to be true that it is God who created all that there is. And everything that there is belongs to God. That is what that very first sentence of the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible declares to us. That God is the creator and all that there is belongs to God. And when we read the rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Genesis, it points to an important lesson for us. The important lesson is that it doesn't really matter about how God created all that there is. That's not where it's at. What matters is who created all that there is. It's not the how, it's the who. In fact, I should make a t-shirt and wear it around that says something to that effect. It's who, not how. See, the how, we could speculate on that, we could argue on that with the best of the science and the archaeologists, and it doesn't matter. God created all that there is, period. It's the who that matters to us, not so much the how. That is why King David, in Psalm 24, wrote and sang, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it." Once again, David reminds us not only that all the stuff in the universe belongs to God, but in that simple verse of Psalm 24, it is clear that we ourselves were created and therefore belong to God. I love the way Romans chapter 14, I love the way Paul puts it. He wrote, "If we live, we are the Lord. If we die, we are the Lord's. And so whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. Therefore, whenever we pray, most merciful Father, we are to know and to remember at all times that God is not only our Creator, but God is our Heavenly Father." That's why Uncle Marty or Martin Luther describes or says it this way in his small catechism: God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children, so that we may ask Him with all boldness and all confidence as children ask of their dear Father. And so, yes, we come to God with all boldness and confidence because He's our Heavenly Father, but also we come to God. We come to Him with joy. We come to Him with thanksgiving, with praise for all the things that He has given us. Hence, our offertory prayer continues with these words: "We offer with joy and thanksgiving." Now, notice the word offer. It doesn't say give. It says offer. Offering implies free choice. It implies a willing heart to give. Now, by contrast, I don't think anyone among us here would consider making a tax payment to the federal government as making an offering, do you? Do you make an offering to the IRS? No. Because paying your tax to the IRS is mandatory. It's mandated by law. And failing to do so, you'll face harsh punishment. But that's not how our God rolls. No. We offer freely, without expectation of reward. And yes, we can withhold our offerings as well without fear of punishment. Now, it's important that we're clear that it's not just our money we offer to God. No. Stewardship is not just about money. That is not all that we offer to God. We also offer the totality of what we are. There's a hymn, and I was surprised that no one at the first service knew it. And I told them that I'm going to have to get David to teach the first service this hymn. And I'm not sure if you all know this, but it goes like this. We lift our voices, we lift our hands, we lift them up to you. We are an offering, we are an offering. Y'all know that? Anybody know? Only one person. So Amanda, we got work to do this whole week. Yep. That is what we are. We're an offering because what? We are God's creation and belongs to our Heavenly Father. We offer as happy and contented people, knowing that God provides all that we have and all that we need. And this knowledge ought to fill us with gratitude. It ought to fill us with joy and thanksgiving. And that's why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, God loves a cheerful giver. And then in verse 8, he says, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance so that by having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. Yes, church, God is the source of all your blessings. We cannot and should not take credit for anything we have. Because Deuteronomy chapter 8 warns us, do not say to yourself, my power and my might, my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember, the Lord is your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Similarly, remembering that God is the creator of all, we would be wise to avoid thinking our possessions and our lives as ours. And then feel that we could use it any way we see fit. We as God's people often refer to our blessings as gifts. And it's properly so in many times, a gift. But this is a misleading language when we talk about stewardship. You see, there's a well-known Lutheran expert on stewardship. His name is Charles Lane. And Charles Lane tells us that with God, there is no transfer of ownership. God is still the owner of all that there is. And Charles Lane goes on to say that we should quit using the gift language and instead use the word trust. Because you see, everything we have is a trust from God to us, placed by God into our care and into our management. Since everything is owned by God, what we have is a trust that God has entrusted to us to care for, to manage. So friends, this week, I encourage you to take the time to consider what it means to you that God deemed it important, that God deemed it so important that you or entrusted with all kinds of possessions. What does it mean for you to be entrusted by God to care for his possession, for all that he has entrusted into your care? Then come on back next Sunday as we continue to dive into the remainder of our offertory prayer as we talk about the gifts that God has entrusted in ourselves, in our time, in our possessions. Again, we are an offering. As we continue with our stewardship focus this month of September, I encourage you to consider all the ways that you will offer unto God, that you will freely, with open hearts, offer unto God all that is God's. And of course, unto Caesar, what is Caesar's. Amen.